There we go. Is that better? I promise I won't take up too much of your time because I know you guys have other plans tonight. Before we start, if you just want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to John 13. John 13. And tonight I'm just going to give just a report of the past 4 years at Crown and what the Lord has done and the opportunities that I've had, and just share something with you that's kind of an overarching theme of my time, I think, at Crown. So obviously, like, everyone here, I think, knew me before Crown, but maybe like a couple other people. So, and obviously back in when I was Bucktooth Beaver, buzz cut. Yeah, it's good. But obviously, before I went to Crown, I was here, I was helping out, I started playing piano, had lots of opportunities on the bus and everything, and I was very thankful for that. But before going there, I did not know the Lord as my Savior. A lot of you already know this testimony, but we're going to go through it again. So when I was 8, I had said a couple words, I had prayed a prayer, and I thought that that was salvation. I thought that that I was saved, that I was on my way to heaven, and that was not true. And it took me a very long time to realize that, and even when I did, I still did not address that because I was embarrassed. And I want to encourage you tonight, I know this is super early, but sell your salvation as soon as possible and don't be embarrassed about it. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. And that was honestly one of the best decisions of my life, the best decision of my life, and I'll get there, we'll get there. But I found out about Crown, I know I said this last time, but I really thought that Harvard was the only college out there. And I realized that Harvard is not for me, so way above my IQ level. So, and I'm kind of glad, you know, I'm very glad that I did not go or even finish the application, but it's okay. But we went to it was a God Bless America Youth Rally, I think in 2019, I think. And it was in Akron or like Cleveland area. And one of the Crown Trio like travel groups came, and actually one of the guys there, he's now a professor at Crown for music, and he taught me piano freshman year, so that was really cool. Kind of embarrassed myself at the youth rally. They all remember that, still make fun of me to this day, so that's kind of cool. But I saw, like, I went with Dad, we saw them, we got their information, all that stuff, and I was like, okay, that Crown seems pretty cool, and that was kind of it. And then we took a trip down there that fall to the college days. I got to see, like, the college, I got to sit in some classes, meet some of the students. And at this point, again, like, I wasn't saved, so I kind of was like, okay, like, Crown seems cool, like, let's go. And it was just the Lord's leading, honestly. I didn't really make an informed decision. I didn't go to any of their colleges. I kind of was just like, all right, Crown, let's go. And so I went there in 2021, fall 2021, and I went starting as a business major. But in high school, after I picked Crown, I started doing some Crown College classes online so that I could finish my degree a little earlier, get a head start. And so when I first started, I didn't have freshman courses like, you know, basic math and stuff like that. I already did that. I started like with the hardcore like accounting for business, and I realized very quickly that I did not like math. And so that was something that was kind of like, oh, I really don't like this. But I did it. I did it my whole freshman year. And then the spring semester of my freshman year, this is where we get more into like the opportunities that I was given here. My spring semester, I was in a Teens for Christ club where we would go into public schools. And we would have these Bible clubs with these kids, and I would get to teach a lesson here and there, like get to talk to the kids, you know, play like Foursquare with them or something like that. And my leader at the time was like, hey, like you should think about working at Lake Texoma in Texas. And I was like, okay, sure, yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to Texas. And because I was like, I'm from Ohio, like that's not for me. But I was like, oh yeah, sure, like I'll think about it. And I like gave him the good old like, oh yeah, like yeah, no. I was not going to think about it, but I did, and I thought about it for a little bit, and he kept on asking me, and I was like, okay. And one chapel service, I remember I was sitting there, and he had just asked me right before again, he's like, hey, like, there's one more spot, like, you know, you should really think about it, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, that's fine. And I was sitting in chapel, and the preacher preached out of Ezekiel. I cannot remember the chapter, but it talks about how they're looking for a man to stand in the gap, and he talked a lot about that one person that they needed to stand in the gap, and I was like, oh no, I think I know what this means. So I was like, okay, I was like, after the message, like I think I called pastor, I called my parents, and I was like, I think I have to go to Texas. And they're like, yeah, like that's a good idea. So I told them yes. I was like, sweet, here we go. So I went to Texas. It was like 2 or 3 weeks right after my freshman year ended. I went back down to Tennessee. We drove down to Texas. And I was a staff there. And so basically what I did was pretty much everything. I was a lifeguard. I was a pianist. I did the media. I ran the games. I was a counselor in a cabin. Like, we did it all. It was crazy. It was a wild summer. But there's lots of cool opportunities, lots of kids that we got to speak to, a lot of children that we got to see saved. But more importantly, I got to see salvation myself that summer. And it was a little interesting because I had all these reasons built up in my head. I was like, well, my parents are youth pastor and like youth pastor's wife. Like, I've been involved in my church. I've been up there. I've testified. And I was like, I can't get saved. I was like, now I'm a whole staff member. And to talk to these kids about salvation, I was like, I can't get saved. That's embarrassing. And that was my mindset for most of the summer. And I really just kind of went through. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to go through this. And, you know, but being at camp, you hear about salvation a lot. And it's good. It's really good. And I remember towards the end, like, we had, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks left. I remember sitting in the back because I was supposed to take photos. And I was back there by myself in a metal chair. And the preacher got up. And normally, like, at camp, they preach, like, very, very hard, very, like, hellfire, brimstone. But this preacher, he got up there, and he just preached about how great heaven was. And I just remember sitting back there, and I was a little 18-year-old Caleb. And I was kind of sitting there, and I was like, wow, like, I should probably get saved. And because I knew I needed to get saved, but I just had never taken that step. I'd never humbled myself and admitted that I wasn't saved. And so I kind of sat back there. Things ended. We cleaned up. We took the kids back to the cabin. And I was like, I was still thinking about it, but I hadn't said anything to anybody. I was kind of just like going over it in my head. And I was walking back to where we had the services to help clean up some more and help put away stuff in the snack shop, which was connected there. And I was walking around the corner, and two of the other camp staff girls had just finished cleaning up, and one of them was crying. I was like, are you okay? She's like, I just got saved. And I was like, I need to get saved right now. Because I was like, if she can humble herself enough, I said, surely I can. And so I called the second in charge guy. His name is James. He pulled up his car and led me to the Lord. And I just remember, I tried to call my parents. I tried to call a lot of people, but I was an hour, I think, behind or ahead, so the time zone didn't work. But I called, like, Alicia, and I was like, it was just so great. And I just remember stepping out of the car after truly accepting the Lord as my Savior, and I remember just taking a nice, deep breath. I felt like I could finally breathe for the first time in my life. And that was honestly, that was a changing point for me, as it should be. And so, but yeah, so I got saved for that last 2 weeks. And I will say the last 2 weeks of the camp, being saved and then being able to fully like minister and like truly give myself to something after truly having salvation, be able to talk to the kids about something that I actually had this time was life-changing. It was amazing. And I wish I would have gotten saved earlier, but the Lord's timing was perfect. And actually, towards the end of camp, I think there's a couple days left. One of my friends had texted me. It was just like completely random out of the blue. And Crown has these extension campuses. You can go to Montana or you can go to England. And so this was my friend from freshman year. He was in my room the first semester. Then he became my RA. And so he texted me. He said, hey, like, there's one more spot open for Montana. And I was like, oh, not the one more thing again. I was like, I don't know. Like, it sounds cool, but, like, I'll think about it. And I realized, I was like, okay, well, I'm saved now. Like, I can actually, you know, pray and, like, expect things from the Lord, expect him to answer back. So I prayed, and I was like, okay, Lord. I was like, if you want me to go to Montana, I want the director himself to call me. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way. He doesn't have my number, no nothing. And so the rest of the week went on, and it was Wednesday, and we were sitting in the snack shop. We were waiting for the guys to be done with the pool time to come get their snacks and the girls to go. And I was just sitting there with all, like, four or five other ones, and I got this call on my phone. I was like, that's a really weird area code. And I knew, and I was like, oh, no, this is it. I answered the phone. He's like, hey, like, I'm Brother Daycue, the director of the Montana. I was like, oh, hey. And I just knew right then and there. I was like, well, okay, the Lord really opened that door and really confirmed that. And so I ended up going to Montana, and I had $100 in my pocket. That's it. That's all I had. But I prayed, and the Lord provided through you guys, through my parents, and I'm very thankful for that. From churches out there, they also gave a little bit here and there, and he provided for the whole semester. And I was really scared. I was really, really scared. And but it was honestly, it was amazing to watch the Lord provide and to watch the Lord open up doors of opportunity out there for us. And so that, I went to Montana fall of 2022. Yeah, 2022. And so it wasn't just Montana. We went out to the Northwest. They had a camp property out there in Heron, Montana. And we stayed there in the dorms. It was three guys and three girls. And during the week, we would do our schoolwork like normal online. It was a little bit different because we weren't in the classes and it was a little bit more challenging, but we got through it. And on the weekends, usually like Thursday through Sunday or like Monday, we'd travel to these churches. We would go to like Idaho, Washington. We went to Utah. We went to Oregon. We went to all these places. And through that, I got to see there was some really nice churches, some really cool places, but there's also some really small churches and some really places that were really struggling. And well, during my time out there, I got to not only see that, but get involved in these churches, no matter how big or how small they were, no matter what they were doing, we were able to either help them or encourage the pastor. We would go there, we would sing, we would help out with like serving stuff. There was one day, I love Montana, but I was so high on paint one day, we painted for 14 hours straight in a closed building with no windows. And I don't really remember anything from that day. Might have been the paint. But it was honestly, it was the time of my life, and I was just so thankful that I got the opportunity to help. To this day, we still laugh about that because we don't remember it because it was funny. Anyways, but it was just an amazing opportunity, and it was awesome. I just have no words for it. And coming back from that was... It was a little bit interesting because I'd just gone to camp. I just went to Montana, and I came back to Crown and kind of was finishing out my studies. I did miss an important part. During the summer at Texas, when I got saved, I switched my major to missions. I did miss that part. It was very important. So I switched from business to missions. I sent an email to my advisor and asked to switch, and so they switched me around. I got that scheduled, and then when I went to Montana, I started with my missions. And I thought that was going to set me back, but because I did dual enrollment, I was actually still right on track. So that worked out perfectly. Praise the Lord. So I came back from Montana. In my junior year, the fall and spring semester, I really wanted to do something. I wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to do something for the Lord. And so a lot of my friends were talking about the England campus. And I'm putting attention on this because it's just as important when the Lord says yes than when he says no. And I remember being so excited. I was like, man, like maybe the Lord wants me to go to England too. And I was like, I'm going to pray specifically again. And I remember like, I didn't really tell anybody. And I kind of was just like, I'm just going to do this myself, like just like pray and like just see myself. And I remember like I eventually did like talk to mom and dad, and they were like, oh, like I don't know, like we're not really sure. And so I was like, okay. But I was like, I'm still going to pray about it. And so it come to the time where we were supposed to put a deposit to go. And I put the deposit down, and I still didn't have an answer from the Lord, but I was like, I'm just going to put it down and trust the Lord. And that week, after I put the deposit down, they started talking about buying your plane tickets. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, I need to know, like, now. Like, I need to know yesterday. So I was praying one morning while getting ready before Sunday school. And I was like, Lord, like, I really just need to know today. And I was like, I'm not trying to put a timeline on you, but, like, I really need to know today. And so Sunday morning came around. We did Sunday school. That was great. We came for the morning service. And Pastor Sexton was supposed to preach, but he wasn't able to be there that morning for some random reason. So it was just one of the other gentlemen who sits on the platform. And he didn't really preach that often, so I was kind of like, oh, okay, like this will be interesting. And so I was kind of sitting there, and you know, he gives this little introduction, and then he goes, all right, I'd like to preach on what to do when the Lord says no. And I said, oh. I was like, all right, I got that loud and clear. And he went through that, and like I just remember like I didn't take notes or nothing. I was just like sitting there like, wow, okay, that was very clear. And I realized that I knew that the Lord did not want me to go there, and that was very hard for me, and I still struggle with that, and I still wanted to go, but I ultimately said, okay, I'm not going to go this next semester. And it was pretty hard. I did lose my deposit, RB, but it's okay. The Lord provides. But after that, I remember thinking, well, maybe next semester. I was like, maybe next semester I can go. So I applied again, got accepted again. I did not put the deposit down the second time yet. And same thing, I prayed, and the Lord very clearly showed me that I wasn't supposed to go. And that was a very tough time for me. I remember being very, not bitter, but I was very confused because I thought that's what the Lord had for me. And I realized it wasn't, but I was like, well, maybe in the future, maybe this and that. But ultimately, I never did go to the UK. But I'm very thankful that I didn't because I wouldn't have had the opportunities for the rest of the part of my time at Crown than if I went to the UK. So after I came back from Montana and after that first semester, I started what's called TESOL, and it's Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages. And I did bring, just for illustration's purpose, it's a certification. I know like half of you guys cannot see this, so I'm so sorry. What was that? Humble brag. So what this is, TESOL's Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages, what we would do, we had a classroom setting where we would learn the hardcore like basics of English. And I thought I knew what I was doing, but I was like, what is half of this stuff? I was like, I've never heard of half of this stuff. So like the first semester, we delve like really far into like the specifics of it, lots of English, lots of grammar. It was a whirlwind. But after we got all the basics and the specifics of English, what we started more focusing on is how to present the gospel and how to work the gospel into teaching people who don't know English at all how to speak English, but working the gospel in there. And so what we would do after the first semester, that was purely classroom, but the second, third and fourth semesters that we had that, we would go into the classrooms. It was on Sundays at 4:30. It went from, 4 to 5:30 every Sunday. And we would go in there and we would observe, or we would teach a small part, or like speak, or like do a game or something like that, or just like work with the people there. And through that, like, I got the opportunity to talk to people from China, from Honduras, Turkey, like people from everywhere. And they would come in there, and some of them would know English, some of them wouldn't. And it was a little difficult, I'm not gonna lie. And but it was honestly, it was amazing to see how the Lord would bring them there. And then we got to share the gospel with them. We saw a couple of people saved, a couple of people got to join the church. And they would come back and we would work with them, see them over and over again. And it was a really amazing opportunity. But that lasted four semesters, so 2 years. And I finished that my fall semester of senior year. And that fourth semester, though, you're supposed to teach every single week. And so I was able to give the gospel every single week to these people and teach them grammar, teach them how to speak English, but more importantly, to read the gospel and read the Bible. And it was just a really amazing opportunity. And still to this day, sometimes some of the Spanish people will text me, or some of the people that we still keep in contact with are like, hey, like, how are you doing? And there's tons of stories there I could share with you. But that was just a really amazing opportunity that I'm very thankful to the Lord for. And then also my senior year, I also got the opportunity to be a resident assistant. It was interesting, I will say. A resident assistant is what I would do. I was in charge of a dorm, so I was in charge of 27 guys, 27, 18-year-olds. Yeah, I think I told my parents like 50 times. I was like, how did you do this with me? I was like 27. I was like, whoa. And it was a ride, I will say. It was interesting. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I knew some of the guys, so it was like a little bit strange to like be their RA. But through that, I got the opportunity to, I shared my testimony multiple times. There's guys that got saved because of that. I got to give devotionals on Sundays and Thursdays at curfew and got to share my personal devotions with these guys and like organize people coming in to speak with them. I got to pray with a lot of these people many, many times. I got to personally invest in their lives. I still pray for a lot of them. I still keep in contact with them. And we got to do things like I took them. We got a dorm Christmas tree. Like, it was really cool. Like, it was just a really cool opportunity. But I'm really thankful that the Lord allowed me to do that and allowed me to minister to the guys in that way. And yeah, the Lord did some really great things in my dorm, and I'm really thankful for that time that I got to do that. And then some of the ministries that I got to participate in at Crown, the first ones that I did was Teens for Christ. I did that my freshman year and part of my sophomore year, where we did the Bible clubs in public schools. I also did nursing home ministries. We would go there on Sunday afternoons. Mine was from 2:30 to 3:30, and we would have a little lesson, sing some songs, and like share the gospel with them as well. And that was lots of fun and very interesting at sometimes. And then recently I got to do the bus ministry as well. For one of my classes, it was required to do bus, and it worked out with my schedule, so I was able to do that. And so we got to go door knocking on Saturdays, kind of like we do here, and we go visit the bus children, just make sure they're coming, and then knock new doors, invite people to our route, and then ride Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, take the kids back. And on the bus rides, again, we'd share the gospel, we'd sing songs with them, we'd go over the books of the Bible. And that was a really fun time as well. I was really thankful that the Lord allowed me to be able to minister to those kids in that way. But ultimately, I talk about all these things at Crown, and you know the opportunities were amazing. Like it was an experience of a lifetime, and I'm so thankful that the Lord led me there. But I think there's an overarching theme, and this is where John 13 comes into play. John chapter 13, verse 12. John 13, verse 12. And I chose this because I feel like this is the overarching theme of my time. When we graduated, we got this. I'm going to try not to break this. We got this towel. Now you might be thinking, you got a towel when you graduated? Yes, I did. And I was, at first, like when I first seen it, I was kind of like, oh, why are they giving out towels over here? And but the emphasis at Crown when I went was service. And we got this nice little towel. And on this says John 13, verses 12 to 17. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. John 13, verses 12 to 17 says, so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And I think about all these opportunities and all the things that I got to do, and one word comes to my mind, and it's service. I got the opportunity to be a servant. And I know you can get that in a lot of places, but I was able to do that in a very specific way, in a very special way, and I'm so thankful for that. And servanthood was something that I had to learn very quickly at Crown, and not even through, even before going to Montana, but just in these ministries, you really had to learn how to set yourself aside and not worry about what you want or things you want to do, but truly just serve and just give yourself to these ministries and to the people that are there and invest yourself in that. And I got to do that with people who didn't know the Lord, with people who did know the Lord in my RA time with the dorm, with ESL in Montana, with the churches and people who didn't know. It genuinely just boils down to the word servanthood. And I'm just really thankful for the time that I had there. It was awesome. I made some lifelong friends, I believe, godly friends, and got to serve with them together, and that was really amazing. And it was honestly just an amazing time. And the Lord worked a lot in my heart, changed my life. I got saved there, gave me a lot of direction there, and I'm really thankful for my time there. And I'm thankful to you guys for supporting me, whether that was through prayer or financially, for my gas tank filled multiple times. And not only my gas tank, but my spiritual tank. And I'm really thankful that I could come home and see you guys again and help out and hop in where I can and just be able to talk with you guys and be encouraged. And you guys have been an amazing encouragement to me. So that's my update. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor.